And as Mel mentioned earlier, now you can even sign up for a reminder just in case.
That's right. They will let you know when everything's up and live and ready to go. If you're a small business with a very small budget for advertising, this is huge. This is big news.
Just and make sure you mention our show.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Nicely done, Mel. Nicely done. One more time, want to send a big shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, of course, our good friends at Quality Plus Printing, Phil Hartley and the gang over there for joining us today.
Yep.
And one more time, say it with me, Seth.
Happy birthday, Melissa.
Aw, thanks, guys.
Very welcome.
And I meant it that time.
Yeah.
I heard it in your voice, Seth.
Enjoy your day.
We can be friends today.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Your biggest job today, enjoy your day, Melissa.
That's right.
You deserve it. You deserve a good one.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you all tomorrow on another morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden is scheduled to speak on Ukraine at noon. He could announce the U.S. will follow Germany's lead and send tanks in to help fight the war with Russia. Correspondent Cammy McCormick reports.
Germany will initially provide 14 of its Leopard 2 tanks, and other European countries which have them will deliver some as well. It could take months, but Germany says it will begin training Ukrainian tank crews right away. The U.S. is expected to announce today it will send M1 Abrams tanks. While the Ukrainians have been supplied with Soviet-era tanks, these will be the first of the more modern Western design tanks.
Pope Francis is speaking out against criminalizing homosexuality.
Ser homosexual no es un delito.
Reporter Sabina Castelfranco is in Rome.
Pope Francis says that laws that criminalize homosexuality are unjust and acknowledge that there are Catholic bishops in some parts of the world that support such laws. In an interview with the Associated Press, the Pope said God loves all children just as they are and urged bishops to welcome LGBTQ people into the church.
The same weather system that spawned more than a dozen tornadoes along the Texas Gulf Coast is moving east. Correspondent Janet Shamlian is near Houston, where one twister tore apart homes and buildings.
Schools in this community, Deer Park, will be closed today. That's a function of the power outages and the road closures here. And the Weather Service will be on the ground looking at the damage to determine the strength of the tornado.
Vice President Harris is scheduled to meet with relatives of victims of the dance club massacre in Monterey Park, California, today. Yetz Suguchi attended a memorial last night in her hometown.
We were shocked, but we're proud of the way the community has reacted. Just have come here to support the families.
11 people were killed Saturday night before the suspect shot and killed himself. Officials in New England have uncovered a huge home arsenal. CBS's Jim Krasula.
38-year-old Ronald Andruchuk has pleaded guilty to lying to federal authorities about his drug use when he bought weapons. The Providence, Rhode Island man had more than 200 guns and thousands of rounds of ammunition in his home. Police first went to his house nearly a year ago after neighbors complained about gunfire.
On Wall Street, stocks lower after the open as corporate earnings pour in, but no sign of technical problems following the New York Stock Exchange. It says it was a mistake triggering a sell short restriction yesterday. Right now, the Dow's down 324. The S&P off 56. Microsoft, by the way, says Teams, Outlook, Azure, and Xbox Live services all stable right now. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. chance for snow this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 31, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight, lows dip down to about 24, cloudy. Chance of snow showers again tomorrow, high of 26, cloudy skies. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this January 25th, 2023. If your host, James J. Mailoff here, just trying to figure out what day it is, apparently. We got at 10:30 a great guest joining us. Ann Lepek from ODC is going to be with us. Ann's going to give us an update on milkweed, ink splash, and a number of other things over there at the ODC. Looking forward to that. Right now, in studio, we have with us Jeremy Solin. He is the new area UW Extension Director of Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark Counties. Jeremy, thank you for being here.
Yeah, good morning. Good to be here.
We also want to send a shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Thank you for being here. Always good to see you guys. And a shout out to Lance Plimble, who usually joins us in this time slot. Lance, unable to join us today.
Yeah.
Lance, just dodging my heavy, hard-hitting questions.
That's what it is.
Joking. We always enjoy talking to Lance. Send a shout out and a good morning to Lance and his. Jeremy, thank you for being here today. I want to get into a couple of things with you today because I did a little homework on you, sir.
Nice.
And there's a topic that I'm dying to talk with you about, but I got to do my journalistic job here.
All right.
Let's go ahead and do this in order. Let's get to know you a little bit. What's your origin story? Where are you from? How did you get into a job, a field like this?
Yeah. So I grew up a little bit north of here in the Antigo area, Lang Lake County. My dad and my uncle were loggers. I grew up working in the woods, and when we weren't working in the woods, I was fishing or hunting or doing something outside. So I always knew I would go into kind of a natural resources related field. And, you know, that path carried me through a couple of colleges and baseball and, you know, all kinds of stuff along the way. But have been working in kind of the education realm, environmental education, natural resources education over the past 20 years. And of course, there's a lot going on in that realm with extension. And so for the past about 10 years, I've been in extension doing outdoor education, water education, leadership development, all kinds of things like that. So it was a good fit to be in this position, and excited to kind of get to work with the breadth of extension programs beyond just natural resources. I would say that the thread that connects all that work together is really a commitment to rural places and making sure that we can sustain those places and people can continue to work on the land and have a connection with the land.
It looks like education is also a common theme with your career too. What brought you to want to educate, to the education field? What made you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways it was kind of looking at the potential of the places that we live and wanting them to be as healthy and vibrant as be able to sustain them as long as possible, and realizing that the kind of route to that is education, right? There's a few different ways you can do that, but education, I think, is the most impactful. So that's really what brought me to education.
And you mentioned outdoor education. Anything, any specifics in there of like things outdoors in particular that you were focused on?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a little bit of everything, a lot of forestry related. Mm-hmm. So when we lived out in Oregon for a few years and actually came back, came back to UW-Stevens Point, and I was coordinating the school forest program in the state. So working with schools around forest management and general outdoor education, which was a great way to kind of reconnect with the state, you know, school forests all over the place. And then I've also done a lot of water education work. Obviously, we're incredibly fortunate here to have as much water as we do, but there's also a lot of issues around that, so there's a lot of need there as well.
Hmm. When it comes to just educating and what extension does, what are you hoping to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do amazing work, right? Extension's role is to kind of tap into the knowledge and skills of the university and make sure that that's accessible to all of our communities throughout the state. And we do that by providing education programs. We're really fortunate in Wood County. We have a wide range of programs to do that. So my role is really to continue to support those educators who are running those programs, and then also make sure that we have strong relationship with our counties and county boards who are partners in providing those programs, and to make sure that we're continuing to meet the needs. So as much as anything, it's continuing to support the work that we're already doing, and then, you know, continuing to look for what are the needs that we may not be addressing, how can we more effectively do them.
When it comes to our relationship here at WFHR with Extension, it goes way back ways, and we really enjoy that relationship.
Yeah.
It's very mutual beneficial. We love having them come in. Let the audience know something. Sometimes Pam and I aren't sure who from Extension might be joining us on Thursday, but we always get excited when we just see University Extension, like Wood County, all that. It's a lot of fun for us. Yeah. Even if I don't know who necessarily it is, I know I'm going to enjoy that conversation. And more times than not, with the gang from Extension, I'm going to learn something.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great group of folks and incredibly knowledgeable.
Yeah, I love the different categories, of things. Tomorrow, we've got Laura Huber joining us from 4-H, things like that.
Yeah.
I've talked on the air a lot when Rachel Whitehair was there, how much I learned from Rachel.
Right.
Matt Lippert, I don't come from an ag background.
Yeah, right.
So literally every time Matt is on the air with us, I'm learning something. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And as you're new in the position and everything, there's some other things that are coming with this too. Last month, because as we have people from Extension join us, I try to focus on whatever the theme is for that show.
Yeah.
But this is kind of one that approaches all of Extension that we didn't get a chance to touch on, although it did come out last month. New Extension project supports the growth of Wisconsin's maple syrup industry.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about this?
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, sir, this is all I wanted to talk about was maple syrup.
We can do that.
I'm a diehard maple syrup guy. I love
good
maple syrup. We're going
to
spend the next 2 hours.
Awesome.
We're gonna go over the ODC's time. I hope you got enough film in there because we're going to keep. What brought this about?
Yeah. So full disclosure, I guess my role before Area Extension Director was as the maple syrup project coordinator in the state. And that I've been making maple syrup my whole life. I have a business, maple syrup focused business. And so it's like runs pretty deep in me. I'm probably like half maple syrup at any given time.
That's good
to hear. So the state actually received a federal grant mm-hmm. to support the development of maple syrup programming in the state, which makes a lot of sense. Wisconsin's number 4 producer in the state. Extension hasn't had an educator focused on maple syrup for since I've been around. I remember the last person was probably 25 years ago or something like that. And so it makes a lot of sense that we're doing this work. We have a lot of resources related to forest management, business development, marketing support, you know, all the kind of things that maple syrup producers need. And so, you know, we took that opportunity to basically start to develop a program. And so little over a year and a half in. Of course, I threw a little wrench into that program, leaving that to take this position, but they're in the process of rehiring, and I think there's good momentum there. There's support from maple syrup producers, there's support from Extension, so I think that will continue on, and lots of opportunity there.
A big diehard fan of maple syrup, and I've always wanted to learn what it's like to do it yourself and to tap it and all those things.
Right.
I've done my homework on maple syrup. I feel like I know my own thing, but then I'm reading this article and you mentioned that stat about Wisconsin being 4th in the nation when it comes to maple syrup. I did not know that.
Yeah, we're pretty large.
And I found that surprising in part because I would have thought other Wisconsinites would have told me that. Wisconsinites are pretty proud of these things,
right,
you know? That leads me to think that not a lot of people know that stat.
Yeah, I think so.
It reminds me of a similar thing where we've had other conversations with ginseng farmers and that about ginseng and how Wisconsin's number 1 in export of ginseng, and it's not necessarily common knowledge.
Yeah,
I love the idea of taking these things that are so prevalent in this state that we can we can, for lack of a better way, make a better term, make money off of, like really make do something with, and could really help our ag industry, really help a lot of these factors. Sure. And it's great. It's really good stuff too. Yeah, just like cheese, stuff, ginseng, right? These other things,
cranberries.
That feels like a pretty cool thing to be able to have as exports, is these great tasting, wonderful things.
Yeah, exactly.
But it also speaks to why something like this new project, is so perfect and such a great fit. It also, something that Extension does really well is taking these categories like 4-H or certain things and really being able to give somebody like a lure or somebody, just go ahead and focus on that, instead of saying, well, you're in charge of kids. Okay, that's a big category.
That's a lot,
Let's narrow that down a little bit.
Yeah.
Maple syrup, just kind of narrowing it down to that and focusing on that. That's a really cool thing to be able to do. It's great. It's a nice hobby. It tastes good, all these things.
Right.
Then there's the economic impact it has and the continuing education part of it that...
Yeah.
I saw some numbers of not necessarily dwindling, but not as many people growing maple syrup or tapping maple syrup that used to. So hopefully you bring more life to it with that too.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maple syrup tends to be it's kind of like curling.
Yeah,
like when attention is paid to it, more people get involved, right?
Yes.
So after the Olympics, we get a lot of curlers, and when something's going on with maple syrup, people pay attention, and I think we're actually in that kind of upswing again. The pandemic actually kind of created some space for more people to do that. So the equipment suppliers have said over the past couple of years, like, demand has been kind of amazing for new people getting in. So that's a good sign. And I think you bring up a kind of important distinction. There are a lot of hobby producers who are just in their backyard doing a few taps, which is awesome. Great way to kind of come alive with the rest of nature during the spring and get outside the house. And then we do have commercial producers, both small scale and large scale commercial producers. And the market is pretty strong right now. So we're seeing growth within that industry. Right now, somewhere in Wisconsin, the market's somewhere around $12 million, something like that, maybe a little bit more. And so there is, lots of opportunity. And as you mentioned, even if you're from Wisconsin, you don't necessarily know that maple syrup's a big product. And that's true across the U.S. So everybody hears about Vermont maple syrup, which is fine.
It's
fine. It's all right. But we make... I would say better maple syrup. We have more maple trees than Vermont does, and we have just incredible potential there. And so it does make sense that Extension's involved supporting research around how do we be most efficient and sustainable in our production, how do we develop new products. All of those kind of things will come along with that for the producers to kind of expand their operation, new people to get in. So
We have Jeremy Solon, a new area UW Extension Director, joining us right now. And Jeremy, we've had joining us before, actually just a week ago, Taylor, the new Allison Dairyland. Yeah. And one of the things that she likes to focus on is made in Wisconsin products and how important that is to keep money in state, to help fellow agri-industry farmers and farms and those kind of things. But there's also a pride that comes from that, too, that really people enjoy. And do you think something like this could help certainly grow the industry, but grow it to a point where it's up there with the ginsengs, the cranberries and stuff as far as exports for our farmers in the state?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential there to continue to grow. There's a lot of work going on over, particularly in Asia, with kind of market development. Hmm. But even in the U.S., there's obviously a little bias, but maple syrup is an amazing sweetener, right? So there's a lot of opportunity to replace more refined sugars with maple syrup. Mm. It's a healthier alternative, more natural alternative. So I think just within the U.S., there's growing awareness of that. And it, sugar by itself is just a sweetener. With maple syrup, you get so much more flavor and lots of other nutrients and things like that. So I think there's work going on kind of on both fronts. And then the other part of that you mentioned that is a particular passion of mine is most of our producers are small scale producers, and there's that has a value from the connection to the land that they have and an interest in making sure that those forests are healthy and just, you know, producing syrup for a long time. And it also helps, I think, build that connection of just the consumers of maple syrup to those places, and so that they can feel connected and feel good about products that they're buying as well.
We're right on the same page with this, because that's another thing I wanted to touch on is the history of maple syrup growing in this state and how proud that is, how strong it is, passed down from families. Sounds like similar to your family.
Yeah.
A little bit, at least, it sounded like. So that's another part of this that I think Wisconsinites can take pride in and maybe even pick up the hobby themselves to do. Because I do think that this is one of those cool hobbies where almost everybody can do and enjoy the fruits of the labor, if you will, of
for sure.
What are some things about maple syrup growing that you think people may not know that isn't as common knowledge?
Yeah, well, I think one of them, and it's important to recognize that maple syrup has been happening in North America for thousands of years. Right? Native American nations developed maple syruping, sugaring. You know, way back they were the original sugar producers, and actually in the early days of the U.S., maple sugar was the primary sweetener, and many of the tribes were actually primary providers for sugar in the even before we were a country, even, but early in the age of the country. And there's still a lot of tribal efforts. Obviously, it's a important component of their culture. Mm-hmm. It's an economic aspect as well. So there's a lot going on there, and a lot of connection to their cultural practices. And then, like you said, there are a lot of families where it's been a family tradition. So, you know, my family, our kids are fifth generation connected to that land and doing syrup and other things. And it is, I think, one of the draws that I kind of mentioned was this, like, we're all cooped up all winter, you know, we're ready to get outside and start doing stuff. And that's a perfect activity to get you out, because you can't just let the sap run on the ground, right? You don't want to do that. So it kind of forces you, draws you outside. And wake up, as I said, with the rest of the forest kind of going on. So I think that aspect is really cool and amazing. And then I think the other part of that people don't know about is just the, like, plethora of products. We think of maple syrup, and we think of the brown liquid. That is amazing flavor, and maybe sometimes we think about sugar, but there's all kinds of other products, like infused maple syrups. From my standpoint, I think cocktails are kind of the highest use of maple syrup, but it's amazing in baking and cooking and all kinds of other things. But there's also development of other products, like candies and baked goods, and I have this crazy idea of trying to make a licorice out of maple syrup. Some things like that. I set my kids on that one. We'll see how that plays out.
Time out. Okay, yeah, we're focusing the rest of all of our resources on that, Jeremy. We are making that happen.
That's right.
That's a great idea, man. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Be fun. it's really versatile. Lots of things to play with. I often get this question of, like, how can you mess with maple syrup like that? Like, it's perfect the way it is. And yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And just like potato chips, like, I really like plain potato chips, but I also like barbecue and sour cream and all kinds of other things, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot to do with maple syrup, for sure.
I was thinking of this the other day. I was driving and I saw somebody fixing a flat. And I'm like, well, that's one of those few things that hasn't really evolved. Yeah. Like, we're still doing that the same way we were with the Model T and everything. Like, and it's weird in 2023 to think of things that haven't necessarily evolved, because where are you going to go with it? I mean, that's pretty much it. What they came up with is pretty much the best way to do it.
Right.
Maple syrup is very similar to this. I know you can make artificial flavors and all that stuff. Right. I'm not talking about that. Yeah, I mean, just the actual
process. Yeah.
It's kind of cool that it's still the same, very similar to the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Native Americans were doing the same thing. Yeah. Basically, we're continuing to do now, and in a lot of ways figured out that process really early on and passed that along. Kind of a fun story. I was in Peru a few years ago, and I was working with an organization that supports indigenous agriculture, and they do a composting program. And we went to a farm, a sugarcane farm, to gather up all their spent sugarcane stalks to make compost. And the director of the program was like, oh, we need to go find the farmer because he makes really amazing rum. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go find him. So, you know, we track him down, and he's in this hut over a kettle that's steaming and boiling. And I was like, what's going on here? It looks like he's making maple syrup. Yeah. You know, it's like the same. They're like, oh, no, he's making sugar. I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense, right? Because the process of getting sugar out of a plant juice is you have to get rid of the water, right?
Yeah.
And condense it down. I was like, that's pretty amazing, right? So around the world, basically, we've developed the same process, technology to get to sugar from low concentrated sugar sap, right? So
impressive.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah, I mean, right. Really, really cool around the world how that's done. That is really something.
Yeah.
I suppose I should talk about other things other than maple syrup. I guess we'll move on. That is really cool.
Yeah.
And you are definitely coming back, so we can talk more about that. Yeah. We could definitely.
Maple syrup season's coming up, so we could do a whole program.
Yeah,
just focused on.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. You did mention there are other things that you're looking to focus on, too, of course. Though, mention water, and I think one of the bigger topics, and maybe the topic that touches on almost any morning magazine guest. I have anybody come in here, and it's one of those ones I can ask them, no matter what field they're in or what industry they're a part of. Water quality is an issue. Education about water is important.
Right.
It sounds like that's one of the things that you're also focusing on there at Extension.
Yeah, for sure. And we have an educator, Anna James, who is focused on that, and she does a lot of work with farmer groups and watershed groups, farmer-led producer watershed groups. And that's obviously a topic of interest to everybody, to the county board, to farmers, to everybody who, you know, is breathing, drinking water kind of thing. And there's some, you know, some really great work going on. Farmers are taking the lead in a lot of cases and trying to figure out best practices to address water quality. There's actually a lot going on. I was just talking with Allison, who's our cranberries educator, about work going on in the cranberry growers related to water quality. It does touch on a lot of different aspects. I think, you know, even within community development, there's an aspect of that, because it's hard to have livable communities if we don't have access to good water. It's a pretty strong theme, I would say, particularly in this area.
Is there intent, like from Extension, to come up with more educators for certain categories or for certain fields?
Yeah. There is an initiative within Extension to work within kind of that relationship between agriculture and water. So we do have some new educators coming on board there who are more at the state and regional level. And I think that's one of the other things about Extension that a lot of people don't realize, is that they see the local educators, which is awesome, but those local educators are able to leverage kind of that vast statewide network of resources. And, you know, within natural resources, we have forestry, water, soils, folks who are doing a lot of research, agriculture-focused research, and that really is the role of the local educators to bring that knowledge into our communities. And so That is one area, though, where we've invested recently in developing more research on kind of agricultural practices that support improved water quality.
Just a question for not Jeremy, the executive director, but Jeremy, the Wisconsinite.
Yeah.
Do you have hope about the water quality in this state in like at the end of 23, 2024, going forward here?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think anything we pay attention to, I think there's hope around that, of trying to figure it out. And so it's complicated and challenging in a lot of ways. We're dealing with history that is coming to the present, right? Carrying through. And so even if we did everything perfectly right now, it wouldn't address the water quality issues, because we're carrying all that with us.
Right.
But I do think, you know, if you look across the board, farmers, industry, everyday citizens are paying more attention to that and are committed to trying to find solutions. And I think we're going to make improvements. Will we solve it, you know, in 20 years? Probably not. We're going to have to continue to work on it, but I think things will get better. And you know, things are better now than they were 50 years ago when you didn't want to touch the Wisconsin River, right?
great point to wrap up on, because we do this way too often in society where we are either looking ahead or looking back too much, and we're not appreciating the work that has been done.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe you could chew gum and walk at the same time. You can see that, hey, there's work to be done, but look at the work we have done. Like, you can do both.
Yeah, exactly. And it's important to do so, for sure.
Jeremy, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of the things we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, probably the easiest way is to look on the Wood County Extension website, so you can track down my information there. But my email is just my first name and dot last name at wisc.edu. So happy to follow up.
Really good to meet you, man. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for being here. Looking forward to you coming back, and looking forward to having more extension guests with us throughout the whole next run here of Morning Magazine. So.
Awesome. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks for the time. Yeah. And a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Always good to see you guys. We will take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for snow this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 31, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight, lows dip down to about 24, cloudy. Chance of snow showers again tomorrow, high of 26, cloudy skies. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this January 25th, 2023, 10:32 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. here. I am joined by our friend, Ann Lepek. She is from the ODC. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
How have you been?
Good, good. Getting ready for the new year, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that, a lot of great, fun, exciting things going on with the ODC. I don't know if we have enough time to cover them all. We're going to do our best, because there's a lot of good things going on over there. And I always like to start with Milkweed Market. Is that where you want to start?
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. So, yeah, I did want to share that now that the holiday season has wound down, our hours for Milkweed Market are Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. So we've shortened our hours significantly, but so wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that. But also wanted to share that we'll be open on Saturday, February 11th, and then also Saturday, March 11th, and those hours are 10 to 2. Some of the things that will be happening for February 11th is that we will be having some special Valentine's, last-minute gift shopping, everything that you need for Valentine's Day and for that special someone. And then keep in mind that it's, you know, local products and then products made by individuals that work at ODC. The other fun thing that will be happening for Valentine's Day, and we're waiting for the online ordering link, but there will be an opportunity to do some online shopping prior, you know, early in February for Valentine's Day. We'll have a select number of gift baskets available. And you would have to order those online, but then we are offering free local delivery on Valentine's Day. So that will be, the delivery will be within 10 miles of our locations in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, and Marshfield. So we're real excited about that. And it
That's
will be
a great idea.
They will be delivered by the individuals in our day services programs.
I was hoping you were going to say, oh, that's great. That just added, like, it was already a cool idea. That just brought it home. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So we're really super excited about that. Watch for updates on our Facebook page, for the Milkweed Market Facebook page, and watch for that ordering link. But all of those events will be posted within the next week or two. So be watching for that. So
Anytime you guys join us, I go out of my way to talk about Milkweed. I enjoy it so much. It saved me when it comes to gifts for my mom. Like, I ran out of ideas a long time ago for her, and that place is the place I go for finding gifts for my mother or anybody else that's really close to me. It's a great spot for those things. Obviously, you're getting, as touched on there, you're getting homemade products here. You're getting products made in town from your clients, which just adds to the meaning, the feeling of all that too, along with, of course, when you buy these products, you're keeping money in the ODC. It just funnels, it puts right back into what they're doing over there.
Correct. Yep. It's really a win-win because it's great product for the community, but also providing opportunities for the individuals that ODC supports. So yeah, really thrilled with that.
If you don't mind, I'd like to take a second, Ann, to just kind of talk about Milkweed and just the history of it. It hasn't been around that long, but it's one of those things that I can remember when it first got started, talking to some people at the ODC at the time and different things. Well, it's a really great thing. It's a really great idea. Boy, I hope this is successful. I there was some hope involved there. There was some I hope some people attend. I hope people come to this and everything. And now we look at it just a handful of short years later, and it is very successful. Like, I don't know many people in town here who don't know Milkweed Market. They haven't heard of it, haven't shopped there. It's got to feel pretty good to you guys, to the ODC in general, certainly to the clients. I hope they're taking a lot of pride and a lot of good feelings from it because they deserve it first and foremost. But you guys as a staff are right there. It's 1A, 1B. I mean, is that feeling in there in the ODC, in the building, with having the success of Milkweed Market?
Oh, definitely. Good. And you talk about the changes that have happened. And really the biggest change that has happened with Milkweed Market in the last year is it's really become run by the individuals with disabilities. We have a staff person that, you know, certainly manages and oversees things, but the reality is the rest of the things that are happening in that store are now run by individuals with disabilities. It's a training location for people. They're, you know, individuals are learning to run the cash register. They're learning about customer service. They're learning about inventory, pricing items, they are running the store. And so that is a really, it's really neat to see how that has evolved and given the individuals another opportunity to learn some new skills and feel really good about what they're doing.
Yeah, and any opportunity to help build their confidence, help build their self-worth, always worth it. Oh, always a good idea. Let alone in that respect, it's so, I want to say it was maybe months ago when the ODC joined us and this came up. And I go there a lot in Milkweed, and I was there the first day that it opened. And I remember what it was like and some of the fun chaos that can be with opening a new business or anything like that. And then the last time I was there, and I didn't notice until it was brought up, but yeah, they're running it now. Like, I didn't notice a change. I didn't notice a difference because they're running it so smoothly. You don't even notice that anything has really changed when it comes to that. It's cool for us to hear that as shoppers because I don't think we would know otherwise. That's how well they're running it.
Yep. Yep, that's correct. That's correct. And the other really cool thing that we've changed is that there's an area in the store now where the individuals, when they're producing product, there's an area within the store where they're physically producing the product right in the store. Mm-hmm. In years past, it was kind of behind the walls in the production area, and so we've really moved it so that everything is really done within the walls of the store.
There's something about the smell of cutting wood or something like that that always gets me. So yeah, I love that going on in there. That's mm-hmm. a really nice added thing to it, and really brings it home for people, especially maybe out of towners or people that may have like the one person in town who hasn't heard of Milkweed Market or whatever. And as you're in the building and you're like, oh yeah, they're really making these right here. You can see some, you can hear some of it going on. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. One other thing I did want to mention about Milkweed, because this came up a while back with one of our listeners out of state was telling me, hey, I hear you talk to this ODC. I hear about this Milkweed Market. It sounded great. So she wanted to look into it and see, hey, is there a way to do this online for people out of state? Sometimes you've got Wisconsinites that have moved or just people that listen to us that just happen to like what we're talking about. And yeah, you can buy it. You can go to Milkweed Market no matter where you are in the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We try and make it as easy and as simple as possible for people to look at our products and purchase. No matter where you're at.
It's a really cool idea to do that kind of thing. I mean, talk about taking it the next step, the next level for the, not only the clients, but for the ODC in general and the revenue that you can bring in.
Correct. Correct.
Is there anything else you wanted to touch on in Milkweed Market? I know we hit the hours and that.
Yep. So just a couple more quick things. I did want to mention in March, on March 11th, the Saturday that we're open, we are going to be hosting our first ever Makers Market.
Ooh.
And so there will be other local businesses that are have their own product lines that we will be also featuring in the store. Mm. So be on the lookout for that. But some of them include Bison Trading, Cherry Tree Creatives, Sweet Pea and Sparrow, just to name a few. And we're really also looking to confirm a few more other Makers Market
It's a great loop, a group of sponsors right there already and everything.
Yep.
You already got a nice list growing. That's cool.
Yep. The only other thing I wanted to quickly mention is tomorrow is our first Painting with Purpose, which is located in Milkweed Market. And it will be running from 12:30 to 2 tomorrow. And we do need RSVPs today if anybody's interested. So you can check out our Facebook page or you would call 715-818-6466 if you're interested in joining our Painting with Purpose tomorrow from 12:30 to 2.
And themilkweedmarket.com is the website you can go to if you are curious about shopping or just checking out the store. Themilkweedmarket.com. I want to get into Ink Splash and some other great things coming up with the ODC. Why don't we do this? We'll take a timeout right here, get that out of the way, and we'll come back and have some more conversation.
Sounds great.
We'll be back with more with our friends from the ODC right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces. Just by giving her a bear hug, she masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for snow this afternoon, otherwise overcast. High temperatures reach up to 31, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast, tonight, chance of snow showers, lows dip down to about 24. Chance of snow showers again, tomorrow 26, overcast skies. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine here, everyone, on WFHR, locally grown radio. We're speaking with Ann Alipek from the ODC. And Ann, again, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Wanted to take some time talking about Ink Splash and some of the cool things going on over there.
Yeah, sure. So what I did want to mention is if you're not familiar with Ink Splash, it is a social enterprise within ODC that where we're able to do some screen printing, embroidery. One of the newer things that we launched last year was corporate apparel, mm-hmm. where a business can contact us and make some determinations on, you know, apparel that they might like ODC to produce for them. And then we can create a web page so that any of your employees from your business can go on the web page. They can order predetermined items that the company has selected. And then it all is filtered through ODC's Ink Splash business. So really, that's been a nice addition to the services that we offer. The other thing I did want to mention about Ink Splash is, again, trying to utilize what businesses we offer to kind of promote some other disability-related things. And I wanted to share that right now we are selling Developmental Disability Awareness Month shirts. Disability Awareness Month is in March, and so we are selling some shirts through February 9th online. So it could also be a great Valentine's gift, but you could check that out if you're interested in ordering a shirt and then wearing it in March to celebrate Developmental Disabilities Awareness. That would really be great. And if you're interested, check out our Facebook page and look for the links to order those shirts.
Mm-hmm. It's any chance to bring attention to that topic, to that month, is certainly great. That's what part of what the month is all about. It's also incredibly good work that they do over there, too, at Ink Splash. And it's always nice to be able to reference Ink Splash when it comes to these things. We know a little something about it. We've worked with Ink Splash before. They've done products for us. Great products, done a great job with them. It just means something a little different when it's local. You know, when it comes to any of these kind of things we're talking about, there's something added to that when it comes to those things. I say that as somebody who is proud of locally grown products and those kind of things. I can't imagine for you guys and your staff how much it means the success of Ink Splash. Very similar to Milkweed Market, the success of that store and that business and how that's going.
Correct. Yes. Yep. And we are very thankful. We have a lot of community supporters. And again, I think we're just getting the word out. Not a lot of people know about Ink Splash. So the more people we can tell about the business that we offer and that they can get those promotional and company that apparel locally and that it's supporting a business with a purpose. We are so thankful for our customers and always looking for more. So give us a call if you have any interest.
And let's take a moment to talk about a special needs trust seminar that's coming up, because that is a really nice thing that you guys are offering there.
Yeah. So did want to take a moment to share. We are partnering with... we have a presenter, Jessica Merkel from Rooterware out of Marshfield. We are offering a special needs trust Yeah, what's the word? Seminar.
Seminar. Yes.
It's going to be on Thursday, February 9th. It's going to be located at our Marshfield facility.
Okay.
We're offering it at two different times, 11:30 a.m. or 5:30 p.m. We are going to be offering some appetizers and refreshments, but it is a free event. Mm-hmm. We do need we need RSVPs. But if you're interested in learning more about Special Needs Trust, this would be a great seminar to attend, and we'd love to fill the seats with anybody that wants to learn more about it. So.
Outside of people that would like to learn more about it, is there any other types of people out there that you think would be really good to take this class?
Well, I think anybody that's maybe in the human services field that's you know, really connected to people with disabilities, it will be geared toward people with disabilities and how to set up special needs trusts. So not only, you know, parents and guardians and the individuals themselves, but maybe community caseworkers or social workers, because there are a lot of legal things that go into special needs trust. So really it would be good information for anybody that supports individuals with disabilities that may, you know, need some additional information on what's involved and how to navigate or what the resources are that are available to set those up.
Those are really good points. Yeah, I like that. That's really good. There's a couple of like kind of our fringe things that we wanted to mention. I want to get to those too, but actually before I go too much farther, you mentioned it once. Let's do it one more time. How can people register for that seminar?
Sure. So to register for the Special Needs Trust Seminar, you would call Carla at 715-818-6491, or you can email her, and it's CCZ ARNY at odcinc.com.
One of these days, we are going to figure out a better way to get email addresses over the airwaves. There's
right.
got to be a better way.
Right,
There's
right.
got to figure it out. We'll figure it out one day.
If all else fails, call ODC's main office at 715-424-2712, and we'll get you connected.
I did want to mention, too, that you can be a part of the staff over there, that you guys are hiring a mental health counselor, it looks like. So just wanted to put that out there to people. We know they're always looking for great people to bring into the ODC, and you'd like to be a part of the team over there, the family, really, over there. We encourage you to reach out to the ODC and look more into that.
Yeah, absolutely. We are recruiting for lots of different positions in lots of locations. So, yeah, check out our website or give us a call. Like everybody, we're looking for really great help. And if you really have a passion looking for a rewarding job, a job that has work-life balance, ODC is the place to be. I've been there over 30 years, and I can't see myself being anywhere else. So come join our team.
Anne's not alone either. Most of the people, in fact, everybody I've talked to from the ODC is usually there for multiple years and loves the work that they do. And the rewarding word that you use there. I don't know if there's any organization that I talk to that you know, really can say that so strongly, so proudly. I know everybody, lots of people like to use that word. Lots of people mean that word. But when you guys say it over there, it just has a different tone to it. It truly is such a rewarding thing. And, you know, we've talked a lot about this over the last couple of years about the great migration going on of people wanting to go from jobs to careers or from careers to passions. And hey, I've been doing this for 20 years. I want to spend the next 20 years maybe making a buck or two less or whatever, but really enjoying my job and really being rewarded pricelessly at a job. That's the ODC to me.
That is correct. Yep. Yeah. It's a place to be.
What about some other things you wanted to touch on before we let you go in?
Yeah, so just wanted to share a couple other updates. I know we talk a lot about mental health services and the mental health clinic. I did want to share just a couple of updates. We are also connecting with the school districts to provide mental health services through our clinic. We will be located within the schools, and I'm happy to say that we have three districts that we should have things in place in the first quarter. Two of the schools are, well, they're all fairly local, but Nacoosa, Pittsville, and Stevens Point at the Junction City location. So really excited about getting things really rolling with the mental health clinic and the services. Also, we will be opening our outpatient mental health clinic, our satellite location in Stevens Point within the first quarter. So again, real excited about having that service available, and really we're seeing a lot of need for that. So
I think this is a streak now of how many times I've brought this up when you guys join us. But when I was a kid and Pam Ross came to my Nana Papa's house for my MPAT to talk to her and talk to us about my aunt's condition and ways that we could be better and learn and know more about it and everything. One of the first things that came up, the term mental health didn't come up. But everything, basically, the description of mental health came up and talking about that. And I was thinking about it this week as I was doing some prep for our interview and thinking about that time again and how long this has been an issue and how we're doing something now about it, but it's always been there. But the ODC has always worked on mental health. Like, now we're able to put a little more focus on it, have a special building or special classes for it and these things. But this has been in your guys' wheelhouse this whole time.
Correct. If I think back to how long I've been with ODC, you know, we generally use the term people with disabilities, right? Well, disabilities can mean anything. And and I will say that we worked with many individuals that had not only, you know, a developmental disability, but in addition had mental health as well. And so we've always supported people with mental health issues. I think it's just different in the way that we're supporting and that there's really a focus and a target on the mental health, you know, providing support to people with mental health needs. So we've really taken a different approach. You're right, it's always been there. It's just that we're supporting it better and differently.
I genuinely don't believe that there's anybody walking under the sun right now that doesn't have some kind of mental health concern. Some kind of, maybe not an issue, but some concern or something even more than that. Then you add on to the factor, we're all getting older, and every one of us understands what it's like to be above the age of 13 and you go to put your shoes on and your back hurts or something like that.
Right.
A physical thing that holds you back from doing something your mind wants to do. Think about the clients at the ODC. And put yourself in those shoes for a moment. Be empathetic for a second and add all those factors and then add on all this other stuff that, you know, the things that we deal with in quote unquote normal day-to-day life. And then you add on these other factors. It makes sense that you would have a special group, a building, any of these things for mental health. And I think it's a good outlier to the rest of the society of like how important this subject is. I think it goes a lot farther than we realize sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the other thing I want to mention regarding our mental health clinic is that it's not just for the individuals that are supported by ODC. It's a clinic that's going to be, that is open and available to the general public. So I want to make sure that people know that it's not just for the people that ODC is currently supporting. It's for anybody that needs mental health services in an outpatient mental health clinic setting. So want people to be aware of that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that they're doing that. And that not only does that help the whole community then, and those kind of things that I think are pretty clear to see, but I have to believe too that say you get some people using that facility that maybe aren't the most empathetic to or have the most empathy to people, your clients. Maybe this creates a little more of that. Maybe this builds that bridge a little bit better. Maybe there are people like how I was when I was a kid and I was uncomfortable. I did not grow up around a lot of people with disabilities or anything, so I didn't know how to act. Maybe you build that a little bit stronger. Who knows? But when it comes to stuff like this, I always like to think of the organic things, the stuff that we plan for, and then the stuff that we didn't even see coming, but our benefits of having this building, having this facility.
Right. Absolutely.
As we are, this time goes by so fast, Dan. as we're getting ready to let you go here, is there any other things that you wanted to make sure to touch on?
No, I just wanted to say thank you to the community for all of their support. You know, we had a great annual appeal. We've got lots of donations last year, so thank you so much. And just want to thank you guys and, again, the entire community for just embracing the direction that ODC is moving as far as in community integration and inclusion. So we look forward to doing more of that in 2023.
And we're looking forward to it, too. It's a true team effort. You guys and the community, it's working together and everything to make that happen. And that doesn't happen without you all over there at the ODC. So we appreciate you guys and the work you're doing as well as much as those clients and all the great people at the ODC.
Well, we couldn't do it without our community support. So thank you so much.
No, I want to thank, we'll just keep going back and forth thanking each other. And if people have follow-up questions, especially the Special Needs Trust Seminar that's coming up, if they want to register for that or find out more about Milkweed or Ink Splash, any of the great stuff we've talked about, how can they reach you?
So I would suggest you call 715-424-2712. Just tell the receptionist what you're looking for and she'll get you pointed in the right direction.
And let's just one last time touch on that Special Needs Trust Seminar that's coming up, what people should know about that, and again, how they can register for it.
Yeah, so Special Needs Trust will be held in Marshfield at our ODC on Thursday, February 9th. There'll be two sessions, 11:30 or 5:30. And if you would, there'll be appetizers and refreshments. And if you're interested in registering for that, please call 715-818-6491.
And be sure to look into more of these things. You can find out more about the ODC and Milkweed Market and Ink Splash at odcinc.com. It's all one word, odcinc.com. Be sure to type into your Facebook search bar, ODC Wisconsin Rapids. Follow